Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I read this story here recently about this little girl who had gone out looking at Christmas lights around her town with her friends and her family. And as her family was driving through town, they came across this church that had this really nice-looking nativity set out in front of it, and they stopped so they could get out and take a closer look. And the little girl's grandmother said to her, she says, "Wow, isn't this beautiful? Do you see here, you know, Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus?" And the little girl responded, "Yes, Grandma, it looks very nice. It looks really nice, but there's one thing that's still bothering me. Because isn't baby Jesus ever going to grow up? He still looks the same this year as he looked last year." Now, how do we grow in our understanding of just who it is that Jesus is? You know, how do we go from that faith of a child into the faith of an adult? When is it we allow that little baby Jesus in the manger to no longer be in a manger, but to be the Lord and Savior of all the world? You see, as we continue now to look at the Word of God as it speaks to us, we find there are some very distinctive features in our reading today about Jesus' life that really apply to all of us as we are part of the family of God. Now, as we talk about the family unit, we know the family unit really forms and shapes everything about us here today. You know, we learn from our families. We learn all about our mannerisms. We learn all about our traditions. We learn all about how it is we handle conflict within the family, because I don't know any family that doesn't have conflict from one time or another. You know, and we also learn about business as we learn that, you know, we must compromise in order to get along in good order. Now, another thing that we learn a lot of times from our family is like a family trade or business. You know, when I talk to the preschoolers during the week, it's really great because, you know, I ask them at some point in time, I say, "What is it you want to be when you grow up?" And, you know, almost all the time, they want to be whatever their mom and dad do. They want to be one or the other. And so it works out really great because they say they're going to grow into the family business or grow into the family trade. But, you know, this isn't necessarily the case nowadays. We're in a very mobile society. We're able to move here and there, and as we go and we learn new things, we go and also try new things. But you know, that's not the way it was in the not-too-distant past, right? Because in the not-too-distant past, I mean, you know, if your family farmed, well, the children were going to be farmers. You know, and if your family was in business, well, then the children would just go into the family business. You see, the business or the trade was really the thing that was most important to the family because it provided a living for the family, and the children would just continue on in that vein. Now, as a male growing up, Jesus probably didn't have many options open to him, did he? I mean, you know, here he would learn a trade probably from his father, and he'd learn all of life's lessons from his father. But we know that Jesus had two fathers. He had his earthly father in Joseph, and he had his heavenly father, and we too have an earthly father and the same heavenly father. Now, while we may not necessarily know the total business of our earthly father, it's very important for us to know the business of our heavenly father. And that's what we see here happening in our gospel reading today, that Jesus shows each and every one of us as he visits the temple. Because what he's showing us is that he is all about his father's business. You know, and so the question now that we really ask ourselves here today that we try to tackle is what does it mean for us to really be a child of God? To be a child within this family of God? So I know our lesson really doesn't show it, but we make a little transition, if you will, today. We transition really from Jesus being in that manger scene that we've been focusing on for the last several weeks. And we now see Jesus growing into a young man. He's 12 years old, and he's going with his parents up to Jerusalem so he can celebrate the Passover as was the custom. Now, being 12 years old, what's happened here is Jesus has already gone through his bar mitzvah. And so in the eyes of the people there, he's really like an adult. but an adult without any authority. This isn't a whole lot different than our confirmation classes, is it? Because we take our youth and we take them through confirmation classes. They proclaim their faith publicly before the congregation. And we allow them then to take, if you will, the sacraments and participate. You know, but yet still, they still fall under the watchful eyes of mom and dad, don't they? That mom and dad are still going to be the ones that are trying to continue to teach them and to help them grow. So yeah, we let them, you know, participate in worship. We allow them to be part of the sacrament. We allow them to help in service projects. But then we start drawing a line, because at that point, they're not quite yet adults. Now, we'll treat them a little bit differently in a few years when they can be a voting member of the congregation, can't we? Now, here in Jesus' case, though, he's been through all the training. You know, he's read the Torah. He's experienced his bar mitzvah, and he starts doing now, because he's taking this all very, very seriously, he starts doing what all good Jews do. He goes to the temple, and he starts talking Torah with all the people that are in there. And not only that, in his talking with them, he's astounding those that are in the temple. They're just amazed at the depth and breadth of the knowledge that he has of Scripture. But we also see what happens when his earthly parents come. That he obeys other parts of the law, and he goes with them to Jerusalem. So it's very clear in our reading today how Jesus views himself. He views himself, yes, as a true Jew, but he also views the temple as his father's house. So, you know, Jesus may have learned his trade of carpentry from his earthly father, Joseph, but you see, he learned his role as a Messiah from the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus even tells the Jews in John chapter 5, he says, "You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." See, Jesus is all about his Father's business. He's all about doing the work of his Father, saving souls. You know, and Jesus knows that he is the fulfillment of these Old Testament scriptures. He also knows that he's going to be the one that will obey the law perfectly and fulfill the promises that God has given to his people. And he knows, too, that every moment of his life is leading up to him fulfilling God's promises to provide a Savior to his people. You know, it didn't matter whether he was obeying his parents, or whether he was teaching in a synagogue, or whether he was sitting in a boat or on the shore and teaching a multitude of people who are seated on a hill. It doesn't matter whether he's just walking down a dusty road or teaching people. He continues to be obedient to his Father. And he continues obeying as he brings comfort to a sinful woman. And he continues to obey when he's trying to teach the Pharisees who have such a hardened heart. You see, all in all, Jesus is all about doing his Father's business. Even in death, Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father. And he willingly went to death on the cross for our benefit. And John tells us in chapter 9, Jesus says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." You see, so in fulfilling his work of redemption on the cross, what Jesus is really doing here is Jesus is making that transition for each and every one of us, that no longer are we just people of the world, that because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we too now have this heavenly Father, that the Father in heaven is our Father too. And since God is our Father, we too need to go to the Scriptures to find out about our Father's business. You know, I know if my father, as we were sitting down and talking, you know, if he had written down everything he thought I needed to know, I mean, if he had put together this manual that would sort of teach me all of life's lessons and teach me everything that he would want me to know, that, you know, things like, you know, from changing oil in the car to how it is I invest money or save money or buy a car or buy a house, you know, or how it is I interact with other people, you know, that's a book that I would really treasure. And I would hold on to it. And I would keep it at arm's length so I could refer back to it day in and day out as I needed to refresh my memory. But you see, that's what our Heavenly Father has done for us. He's written everything down for us that he has decided to be important here in Scripture. He tells us why he had to save us. The fact that sin had entered into the world and has infected each and every one of us. And how because of that sin, that the wage of that sin is really death. And how it is that we really truly need a Savior. And that he sent us a Savior in his Son, Jesus. And he also let us know what our role is in the plan of salvation that we have through Jesus. And that is to proclaim Jesus to others. He's made it clear that we as his children, that we grow in wisdom and in stature as we go about his business. Now, as I was mentioning, we make a transition here in Luke this morning. You know how the infancy narrative actually ends. It ends with our first verse that we read here this morning. And Luke tells us now here as a child, he says, Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And then what we see happening here is that Jesus is growing. He's growing into a young man. And as he's there at the temple and still obeying his parents, then Luke tells us that he continued to increase in wisdom and stature and in the favor of God and man. Now, I don't know if you caught it, but during our first lesson there from 1 Kings, Solomon's asking for the same wisdom and stature. You see, what Solomon does is he goes to worship at this pagan altar in Gibeon. And there he's met by God. And what he does is he recognizes all that God has really done to bless him. You know how God has blessed him even in his youth in giving him the throne of his father David. And so God tells him then in a dream, he says, tell me what it is you want me to give you. And how Solomon responds is very interesting. Because he tells him, he says, Lord, you know, you put me in charge of a whole multitude of people, you know, and so what I'm looking for is I'm looking for wisdom. And I'm looking for the ability to discern between right and wrong. And what God then says to him is he says, well, because you have asked for this and not asked for something like long life or to be rich or to give the life of his enemies, God says, hey, I'm going to do that. I'm going to give that to you. And not only that, I'm going to give you more. And then this wisdom and stature, Paul tells us, is actually given to us. The way Paul describes it here in Ephesians, he says it's a result really of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Here's what Paul says. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. You see, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, grows each and every one of us in the wisdom and knowledge of his business. His business of redeeming the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. And as Jesus now increases in wisdom and stature, and in favor of both God and man, you know that we too are growing in that wisdom and stature. We too are growing in wisdom and stature, and we're called upon to use these gifts of wisdom that God has given each of us as we go out into the world and we interact with the world day in and day out. We know that God created us, and we know that we receive the gift of our minds and the ability to think and grow in our Heavenly Father's business, don't we? So it doesn't matter really what it is you do here on earth for a vocation. You know that you have learned from the Father of all that exists what his business is all about. And that is the saving work of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And as a child of his family, the wisdom and stature that we have been given in Christ is our Father's business. And he continually grows us in that wisdom and stature in his eyes and in the eyes of man as we reflect our new family's faith values, as we interact in the world, as we take what we have learned in the Scriptures and we take that out and live that day by day. And we have a great example for us here this morning. It's in Jesus Christ. Jesus our Savior. Because he demonstrated that for us in his birth, his life, and his death. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.